Hello and welcome everyone to Leaders in Elder Care, the interview series designed to share with you some of the many people who are doing great things to change the face of elder care as we know it. I'm Ryan Malone, founder of Inside Elder Care and your host of the Leaders in Elder Care series. Before we start, I'd like to remind you to subscribe to this podcast. You can do so by visiting insideeldercare.com/subscribe. And you can also subscribe through iTunes by searching podcast library for Leaders in Elder Care and clicking the subscribe button. Let's go ahead and get started. Joining us today is Paula Panchuk. Paula is Vice President for LaSalle College at LaSalle Village and the founding dean of its innovative living and learning programs. She holds a PhD in Educational Studies and Public Policy from Lesley University in the area of adult development and aging, and is the recipient of the American Society on Aging and the MetLife Foundation Mind Alert Award for Outstanding Older Adult Learning Programs. How are you doing today, Paula?
Great, Ryan. Nice to talk with you today.
Well, so the conversation today, I think, is going to be a lot of fun because I think what you're doing is absolutely unique from anything that I've ever seen. So tell everybody that's listening, what is LaSalle Village?
LaSalle Village is a continuing care retirement community that is located directly on the campus of LaSalle College in Auburndale, Massachusetts, which is just outside of Boston. And it's a community that opened in 2000, so we're just barely 10 years old. But it is a community in which the defining characteristic is lifelong learning. And this characteristic really makes it quite unique among retirement communities because although it's one of a number of college-affiliated communities in the country, it's the first to have a required continuing education program for its residents. And in a lot of ways, the village resembles other retirement communities from the housing point of view, with attractive living apartments, dining services, and housekeeping, the kinds of things that people look for when they come to a retirement community. But visitors are immediately struck by how it resembles a college campus setting. The architecture has a classroom in every one of the 16 buildings. Every building is named for an educator, so we have buildings like Piaget and Montessori and Rogers. Just like a college, it has an education office that's actually overseen by a dean. It publishes a catalog for its residents of courses and lectures. Every room, just like a college student's room at the college, being connected to the campus network, so is that true of every apartment at LaSalle Village. We have an on-site research center, the Center for Research on Aging and Intergenerational Studies, and college students are a daily presence at LaSalle Village, either working on an assignment or as employees, and faculty are almost a daily presence. So it has a very unusual mission to be a lifelong learning required place to live in retirement, and that's evident as soon as you walk in the front door.
And so what level of care does it have?
Most of the residents here are part of independent living. In fact, they must be able to live independently when they arrive. And the age of admission is 65 years of age. So it's truly close to retirement age. But it also has assistive care provided in people's apartments. And it has a skilled nursing facility as well that provides short-term and long-term care for residents and for people in the surrounding community as well.
Interesting. So how it's such a unique idea that I said when we first started speaking, I've absolutely never heard of this. And how did the idea come about?
Well, the village is located directly on the college campus, and it's on a 13-acre site that in 1988, the development restrictions for that site were lifted. So the college needed to determine what to do with this parcel of land on campus. And while they thought about single-family housing as a good use for the area, the president at that time, Tom DeWitt, thought that there could be sort of a higher purpose and one that was much more educational in nature. So the college first proposed a residential tower for seniors, a larger community than what we have and a very different looking one that was actually voted down by the city alderman in Newton, partly because neighbors were very concerned about such a structure going up. And it caused us to hire a consultant to explore the feasibility, the marketability of an older adult community in which there would be lots of intergeneration learning and lots of interaction among residents and college students. And we found from that consultant study that there were definitely many retirees who would welcome a community in which they could be very active intellectually and physically, and that they could interact with a younger generation. So the college, really from this problem, so to speak, of what to do with the land, really developed a very, very interesting concept, because we thought that this would be a niche market for us that was consistent with our educational mission. And we proposed it to the city as a retirement community and called upon a little-known law in the state of Massachusetts called the Dover Amendment that gives religious organizations and educational institutions some relief from zoning requirements if it was to promote their mission. So we were able to move the idea of an educational retirement community on the college campus through the permitting process. And it took a number of years, but in 1991, quite a long time ago, we first signed an agreement with the city that was essentially the birth of LaSalle Village as a living and learning community for retirees.
Gosh, that's so cool. That's such a creative thing to do on a college campus. So how does so walk me through a day in the life of one of the residents that's integrated?
Well, when residents first come here, their very first day, they sign a residency and care agreement that outlines a lot of responsibility that they have to the community and that we have to them. And our learning program is actually part of that legal agreement. So all of the villagers know that it should, when they move to this community, they have an obligation to complete an individual learning plan each year, much in the way that college students sort of choose their curriculum each year. And they can choose from a variety of courses or fitness programs and other sort of endeavors, things offered both at the village right where they live or right at the college, which is a hop, skip, and a jump away. And this is possible at the village because we're part of a college that has a philosophy of connected learning, that learning takes place inside the classroom and outside as well. So there are a lot of ways in which villagers can engage on a daily basis in this educational program. They can take courses at the college or courses at the village in which they and their peers are enrolled, or at the college with college students. They can do volunteer activities. They can teach. They can mentor students if they are artists, or if they are patrons of the arts who enjoy symphony and theater or ballet, participation in those kinds of activities. This is a group of people who does not need to be convinced of the value of physical fitness as it relates to mental fitness. So engagement in physical activities, either through our own classes or through some of their independent exercise programs in our fitness room, independent study or research, being part of a research study, conducting a research study. So no matter what people are interested in, there is a way in which we channel that activity and consider it continued learning. And all of this happens in the 16 buildings here on the LaSalle Village site, each of which has a space in which these many activities take place. So as someone ages and becomes a little bit less mobile, they can step outside their apartment, no matter where they live in this community, and find an art studio or a fitness room or a classroom where there is activity going on all the time. So it's a wonderful example of if you build it, they will come. If you make it accessible to older adults, most would choose, or many more than we think, would choose a lifestyle where they can stay intellectually active. It dazzles the college students to think that adults, once they finish school, could really want to continue learning just because it's fun. And it's one of the most wonderful intergenerational lessons that is coming to the college students just by observing these older adults in action, learning for the love of learning.
Wow, I would imagine. So I'm assuming that you have no issues with vacancy.
No, as a matter of fact. And when we first marketed LaSalle Village back in the late 1990s, and we said that it was going to be an educational retirement community, and if you came to live with us, you had to promise in a legal agreement that you would continue to be active, there were so many of our critics who said, this will never fly. No one will want to come live in a community in retirement and have to continue to be active and have to continue to learn. And, you know, it was quite the opposite. It turned out to be exactly what attracted people to us, so that we were full from the moment that we opened in 2000, and we continue to be so. We've added a couple of buildings since that time because the demand has been so great. So I think it says a lot about what retirement means in this day and what retirees and older adults in general would really love to have if people, I think as we have done, can figure out a way to make it accessible to you regardless of, you know, how good your mobility is or whether you still drive, that right in your own living community, this sort of lifestyle can take place. And this is what they want. They want to be active. So, you know, our results showed, I think, you know, the whole industry that this is a key aspect to planning communities, that you can't just think about housing because older adults want that stimulation intellectually. They want that opportunity to exercise physically, and they want all the other care things that are more typical of communities.
It's interesting. Most people move to retirement communities, you know, for weather or to be close to kids. But a lot of people stay in their local area. Do you find that you get a lot of villagers that are coming from outside the area because of the program?
Yes, absolutely. When we first opened the community, and I always survey new residents about a lot of things, but one of which is, why did you choose LaSalle Village? What were the most important considerations? And I will say that when we first opened in 2000, many people said it was the location. We are just outside of Boston. We are in a wonderful cultural area. People had children living here, so they came. Over the years, however, what new residents say is it's the active lifestyle. You have produced an environment for living that is unlike any others that we see, no matter where. So now, for sure, the primary reason that people come because they see what we're doing is the active lifestyle, hands down. It's a very telling sort of change, you know, in what we saw initially, and once we showed people what it was like to have such a community, they came for that living and learning aspect to the community.
I got to ask, where's the farthest place that someone's come from? You know, every time you go to
California,
a seminar or
something. California. Right. Yes, yeah. And, of course, you know, we have a website, and people begin to hear about us just from surfing the website. So I expect, you know, we have about 17 different countries that hit our website every month, hundreds of hits. And, you know, I'm fully expecting that soon we'll start seeing the international population looking, you know, to come live here. I sure hope so.
Yeah, that would make it really interesting. So, can you share with me, you know, obviously without naming people's names, but any success stories of villagers who've just really thrived? It's good to give the listeners a feel for, you know, how some of the cases turn out.
Absolutely. Well, I think that, you know, just a general statement, and I'll certainly give you some specifics, but when we opened 10 years ago, our average age was about age 78, and it's now about age 84. But 20% of our community is now over 90. They remain active. Our oldest resident is 98. So 20% of them are over 90. In my mind, that's an enormous success story. That, you know, when you typically think of people in their 90s, if you've never been exposed to them before, you think, gee, they must, you know, they must be slowing down, and they certainly aren't going to class, and they're not likely to be taking a class at the college or be in an exercise class. And that, to me, overall, is an astounding success story, that we have kept people healthy and active so that now in their 90s, they're hard to pick out in the community because of their activity. So to me, that's a huge success story. But I think of a retired psychiatrist who was so engaged in leading a psychiatric unit at a very large local hospital, who has now become a published poet, something perhaps as opposite to what his work life was like as it could be. Or two business owners who, you know, were very used to reading and writing business plans, but if you ask them about Dante's Inferno, you know, that was sort of an area that they never had the chance to take the time to read or learn how to read differently from a business plan. So we have a couple of executives who, you know, always said that they came because their wife wanted to, and each of them has absolutely blossomed in terms of having time for the humanities, having spent a whole career in the business field. We have a resident right now who is in her first year of residency, and it's very exciting that her granddaughter is about to become part of the college community as a first-year student. Having watched her grandmother be so happy in a college-affiliated community, her grandmother took a couple of courses at the college as a village resident, and as her granddaughter went through the search process, she had, you know, some experiential influence on her granddaughter's decision. So next month, we will have the resident completing her first year at LaSalle Village and her granddaughter beginning her first year at the college. I'm quite sure that we will see that village resident, with her granddaughter's permission, of course, enrolled in one of the courses together. And what a wonderful, 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 you know, beginning of a whole new relationship that they will have. Women who were childhood friends, rediscovering each other as residents of the village, each had gone in separate directions and had been very close as elementary and junior high school and high school friends, and find themselves not only in the same community, not only in the same building, but on the same corridor. So that sort of rediscovery of friends and the values that you had in common as young people, you find you have values in common as older people, and you wanted an active older adult community. And I think, you know, part of the success for so many residents is the new experiences. So often, older people tend to look back on their lives as, you know, some of the most satisfying times that they've ever had, because very few new experiences are sometimes, you know, their opportunity to have. But in a community such as this one, you're meeting new people, exposed to new ideas, doing new things. So to me, that is an enormous success story for an entire generation, that it is possible to be very forward-thinking in your 80s and 90s rather than always reflecting on what was. But it takes a community with this sort of planned, active lifestyle to bring that out for older adults.
And the tuition's included in their resident fee?
Yes. They pay a monthly fee for all of the services, and all of the educational opportunities are covered there, so that unless they're taking an art course and they need to buy some supplies,
sure,
or they need to buy their books, they can take as many courses, attend as many lectures at the college and or at the village at no additional cost.
Huh, that's neat. So where do you take the village next? Like, if you look out the next 5 years, what can you share with everybody?
Well, I think that as our residents continue to age in place, we want to continue the good work that we're doing and to continue to put measures in place that make that participation happen, whether it's providing transportation, whether it's providing assistance, physical assistance for residents to get places that they are cognitively able to be. So always keeping an eye out as the population ages and not say, oh my gosh, they're now getting to be over 90. This isn't going to be possible. It is totally possible, but it means more support services, more accommodations like hearing devices, more large screen presentations for people who have vision impairments, more integration of technology, whether it is in their apartments, more sort of computer-related assistance in reading, those kinds of things that we want to keep up what we're doing as more and more people become a larger percentage of, 90-year-olds or more here. And also to accommodate what we have is a 30-year age span of residents. We're very attractive to younger retirees. So we now have a community that ranges from age 66 to age 98. So being aware of programming that will reach the younger retirees' preferences, but also accommodate older retirees as well.
Very cool. So if people want to find more information about LaSalle Village, where will they go?
Our website at www.lasallevillage.com provides information about our services and certainly our living and learning program, or they can contact me, Paula Panchuk, at ppanchuk@lasalle.edu, and I hope you'll put that up on the screen for our readers and listeners.
I will, and LaSalle, just so everybody knows, is LASELL, but if you
correct,
look at the bottom of the podcast message, you'll see all the contact information, so don't worry about writing it down. Well, any parting words before we sign off?
Well, I'd like to say that one of the things that LaSalle Village has done is to show the industry of retirement communities that you can't just provide housing. I think one of our biggest impacts certainly is on individuals, but on the industry as well, that as the boomers age, as the current older population chooses to leave their homes and go into communities, you've got to think about the activity level that keeps them connected with one another and keeps them intellectually vibrant for as long as possible. So I hope we'll be a model for other communities as well.
Well, I certainly think you are, and whether that's intentional or not, I know from speaking to some of the larger assisted living companies, they're all grappling with how to plan for the generational shift.
It's an international grappling.
Sushi and
yes,
fitness and mm-hmm, different kinds of stuff like that, and they have to do mm-hmm it over a long period of time. So, and I know that
right,
there's I don't know if it's intentional or not, and to be honest, I don't know the details of the program, but I know that one of a Belmont Village just opened a community in next to UCLA, and I don't know whether they're planning on doing educational type programs or whether that was because of the location. But certainly, hopefully, the people that listen to this interview see the value in what you're doing, because I just think it's so amazing and so unique, and really glad that
thank
we got a
you,
chance
Ryan,
to speak together.
Me too. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. So thanks for your time, and thank you very much for being a leader in elder care. For our listeners out there, a reminder, be sure to check out two websites. One is Inside Elder Care, a by families, for families approach to helping families deal with elder care issues. It's at www.insideeldercare.com. And Portrait of Our Parents, which is a storytelling website where you can share unique memories about your elders that define who they are. It's available at portraitofourparents.com. Thanks very much. Have a great day, and I hope you come back and listen soon.